In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When Becky and I were newly married, we developed a plan with some friends to move to the Bronx in order to plant new churches. One of the reasons that we chose the Bronx was because we knew that borough to be full of all kinds of people. An amazing diversity of nationalities, ethnicities, languages, cultures, all kinds of things. And we knew that besides English, Spanish was one of the most commonly spoken languages there. So we spent 2 summers in a row traveling overseas to do the work of language acquisition. It was while attending a one-month immersion program in a language school and for missionaries in Costa Rica that I encountered an article by Catholic priest Henri Nouwen. In it, Nouwen describes his own experiences of language learning as an adult. One of the clearest signs of maturing, growing up for a human being, is our capacity to speak and to express ourselves. And so when I, as an adult, enter a context in which no one else speaks my language, suddenly it is as if I am an infant all over again. I can't read the signs. I can't understand instructions. I cannot speak to make my needs known. Whatever I try to say to other people, all they hear is goo goo ga ga. And so I'm reduced to kind of making signs and pointing and hoping someone will understand. It's a very humbling experience. It's very exhausting. And it can be emotionally devastating. Immersion and language learning are, among other things, a huge spiritual challenge because we have to start over. We're like little babies. And when I was practicing my Spanish, even the little 5-year-old girl next door thought it was hilarious. So in our gospel reading this morning, Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. He's nervous about being seen with Jesus. He doesn't know what to make of this Jesus guy yet. But he seems compelled to set aside his pride and his social status and to have a frank conversation with this untutored radical named Jesus. Now, Nicodemus knows there's something going on with Jesus, but Nicodemus does not know yet even what question to ask. And so he comes to Jesus, and he simply speaks what he understands so far. Nicodemus says, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Right? He speaks what he knows, just like we do in worship. And Jesus, you know, fair enough, accepts his statement. And then Jesus gives him what he needs to take the next step down the road. Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above or born again." It's time, says Jesus, to start over. Now, Jesus is challenging Nicodemus in 2 ways. First, he's talking about the kingdom of God. Right? That was a phrase that Jesus liked to use. It was his constant topic of preaching and teaching. It seems like that's all he's interested in. So whether Nicodemus is used to that particular phrase or not, that's the one their conversation's going to be based on. Jesus may not lay out clearly this is exactly what the kingdom of God is. Maybe it just defies human understanding and simple explanations. But Jesus does talk about the kingdom a lot, and he uses parables and stories and exhortations like this one. So Jesus clarifies for Nicodemus, the kingdom of heaven is that thing that you're seeking. But here's the hard part. You aren't there yet. In fact, you are a fair ways off, and a radical change is the only way to get there. You must, says Jesus, be born again to see the kingdom of God. Now, what does it mean to be born again? Well, I can make some guesses, right? Like in language learning, it's going to be hard. It's going to mean letting go of your competency and your control and depending upon the goodwill of others. Being born again is going to mean making lots and lots of mistakes and being willing to continue trying anyhow. Imagine how hard this was for Nicodemus. One of the most respected scholars and religious leaders of his time, Nicodemus was no slouch. He had dedicated his life to study and learning and knowing God. He had a kind of discipline and energy that very few other people have. He was pursuing the kingdom of God, and Jesus tells him, if you really want to get there, you need to start over. I can understand Nicodemus' reluctance, his hesitation to embrace what Jesus is telling him. Jesus is demanding a tremendous sacrifice of Nicodemus' own self-understanding. Let go of your status. Let go of all your credentials. They are without value for the goal of inheriting God's kingdom. It's time to start over. Sometimes I think that entering the kingdom of God is hardest for those of us who have been most dutiful about pursuing it. We go to church, we say our prayers, we give of our income, we care for the poor, we love our neighbors, or at least we try to do these things. And these are all good things. But sometimes even the best things can interfere with our capacity to know God. Even the best things can become stumbling blocks, points of pride that we are reluctant to give up. They become monuments to past accomplishments while blocking the path forward into deeper relationship with God. But being born again means taking those pieces of life where you think you've arrived, where you think you've got it all figured out, where you think you're done, and throwing them out so you can start over. Because here's the deal. None of us has yet arrived. None of us has yet entered the kingdom of God in all its fullness. We each and all stand in need of further grace, further guidance, further growth, further renewal. And so we each need to tear down the imperfect structures we've built and to be guided to erect new ones that will be yet more complete by God's Spirit at work within us. And then the irony is, we'll discover down the road that those new structures are also imperfect. Because the point is the process, the building. The Christian life is not a destination. It is a process or a journey or a pilgrimage. I've said before that St. Thomas is not a museum. Because no church can live faithfully into God's call for us today if we hold on too tightly to the past. And so also, no Christian can grow into a fuller, deeper walk with God unless she is ready to be born again, born from above, renewed, reborn, to be challenged and invited to grow beyond where she's been so far. Infants are fantastic learners, right? They're learning constantly. They're figuring out how to control their bodies, how to discern other people, how to talk, all sorts of things. It's only as we grow up that our thoughts and our actions harden into these set patterns, rituals, and liturgies, and we lose our flexibility. Around middle age, even the lenses in our eyes harden, and we can no longer shift our focus, and so we have to start wearing readers. But here's the great part. Our souls are not limited like our brains and bodies. Right? Exercise and nutrition can slow the process of aging bodies, and that's good. But souls can do even better. Exercise and nutrition are still important, right? Exercises like caring for others and going to church and saying your prayers. These are all important because they feed our souls and they create the context and the opportunity for God to do God's work within you. But have you ever been around a person who was so alive that she brought joy to your heart? Someone wise and kind and calm and insightful. That's the renewal that Jesus brings to willing hearts. And it's funny how it's usually the old souls who seem to reflect God's work in them most clearly. You're never too old to enter the kingdom of God. If you're willing, if you're open and asking, Jesus can make your soul young and supple and vital. It will likely mean swallowing some pride, abandoning some privilege. It will mean learning new things, and it definitely requires the capacity to be surprised. God's love is surprising beyond anything that we might imagine on our own. During the season of Lent, I invite you to embrace a renewal, a born-again nature that makes room in your life and in your heart to be surprised anew by God's love for you. I pray that you will encounter God in a surprising new way, that you will discover a new way of living in Christ, and that you will catch a startling new glimpse of your promised inheritance, the kingdom of God. Amen.
Amen.